If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Thank you, and let's begin with a little of Emily Heard's latest song.
If she were a melody, she'd be in a major key.
That is from her latest album, and many Chicagoans know Emily from her gigs at Space and Shubas and Martyrs and the Old Town School of Music. And if you're wondering what that has to do with the business of food, I will tell you after I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDrivesChicago.com.
When the other door would slam.
I lived in Chicago for 13 years, and I toured the country, and I taught lessons out of my apartment. And that's what I did for my living, and it was great.
But then, in 2013...
My dad died.
A sudden heart attack. In Rockford, where Emily grew up as an only child, her mom was alone, and...
I just kind of wanted to be closer to her, and I just felt like there was something else that I needed to do.
And what she did with that grief was pack up and move back to Rockford.
I thought I would do something really crazy with my energy. And I've always really enjoyed working with my hands. That's kind of what fills my cup. And so I bought an old building, decided to start a restaurant because, I mean, I don't know, life is short. And that was something that had needed to be checked off. So I did.
Her idea was that it would be a community gathering space with live music. And it wasn't totally out of the blue.
You know, I have a culinary background. I went to the International Institute of Culinary Arts in Massachusetts.
And she loves carpentry and working with her hands.
That's kind of what fills my cup.
But as she started renovating the old building, her cup runneth over. She tore into asbestos.
The environmental inspector told me, here's a contractor, called them. They said it's going to be a $93,000 abatement.
That would have been the end of the story, if not for Kickstarter.
Musicians know about Kickstarter from how they fund their albums, and it's where you reach out to other people and say, hey, I'm doing this. If you'd like to back my project, here are the different reward levels. And so I thought, well, I'm going to do that for the building. And I did. And I said, well, I need $93,000. And I was pregnant at the time. So I think I had one that was like, all $93,000 and you can name my baby. That was like the silent one. But I had, you know, 20 bucks gets you this album I wrote about my first child that I was pregnant with. $100 gets you your name on a brick. I also am a woodworker, so, you know, I made these wooden bricks and burned names with a wood burner to put on my wall. $1,000 got your name on a bar stool. And this was where I really made a mistake. $300 to $500 got you a house concert anywhere in the continental United States. And I really should have thought that one through, because I played 48 house concerts in the continental United States while I had just had my child. And some of them included food, depending on what level. I mean, it was such a hard Kickstarter to work for. But I mean, those people that backed the project, which, I mean, there were, you know, more than 1,000 of them, they were our first customers. Their names are on the wall. Their names are on my bar stool still. And, you know, as I was going through this project, and it kept getting harder and harder, the building, I mean, it's a 100-year-old building almost. And there, you know, the problems you run into with codes of today being, you know, enforced on a 100-year-old building and trying to bring it up to code, the community would not let me fail. And so when I say, yes, it was an awful money pit, but it should really be a story about how much the people in this area needed something to be here. And so, yeah, it's a restaurant, but it's such a gathering place too. And the, that spirit of scrappy, let's all get it done, has really continued. That energy is pretty palpable in the restaurant today. You know, the spirit of the kitchen, things break around here all the time. And instead of feeling let down, which we do, you know, we just all kind of keep it going. That good momentum that started from the community really rallying behind me. I mean, I was demoing in here while I was pregnant, which, you know, is not recommended. And people saw the dumpster out here, and it was just people that live around the neighborhood that have now become really dear friends, just knocking on the door and saying, hey, we can help you. And I made them sign waivers, and they work for pizza and hot dogs. and helped me get through that. And I mean, it's been really, yes, an absolute money pit, but we were able to do it by doing as much of the work as possible and reusing any wood from the demo. And most of the stuff that's in here is reclaimed. The chairs we're using are old Pizza Hut chairs that a Chicago restaurant called Honey Butter Fried Chicken used. And then we brought them here, and then we cut the tops off because I didn't like the way the loops looked. I mean, everything is just using what you've got, modify what you've got, get it done. And the place really feels that way when you come in. It's like you're in somebody's weird, funky house that they just repurposed anything that they got, you know, as a hand-me-down.
People in the community chipped in enough to cover the asbestos and then some, and the final result is what is now one of Rockford's most popular restaurants, the Norwegian. It hasn't turned out the way Emily expected, though.
Most people, when they start a business, would tell you that it's kind of like writing fiction, right? Like, this is my business projections for something that doesn't exist and there's no blueprint for. And, you know, at the beginning, I opened with 10 people and I was going to just try to do $1,000 in sales a day, and I was going to close whenever I wanted, and I'm just going to make some cinnamon knots and whatever. And then, I mean, it's not what the community needed. We grew with what they wanted. They needed a restaurant. People needed jobs. I mean, what I'm doing now has so much more to do with my staff than my initial vision, but somehow in making it about my staff, my vision has been accomplished. My team right now is everything to me. When I opened, I wasn't getting them enough full-time hours. They needed health insurance. They needed mental health. They needed dental. And so I basically created dinner service so that we could make sure that everyone here had the opportunity for full-time hours if they needed it. We used COVID as the time to get healthcare in place. I was only open a year before that hit. And now everything, I mean, every week I write a new menu. It's crazy. I don't know how we have done this for so many years, but the reason we do that is to keep people coming back, and having people come back is what supports my team. And the team then wants to stay. I don't really have turnover, because they know how much I value them. And I do. It's not like just words. I actually do. And now everything sort of has become what I wanted in the beginning, which was just a community hub where I could feel good about hanging my hat, you know, for a while. And I still want this place to go, but I ultimately just want to keep making music and playing out, you know. And I feel like this place has become it, but it's kind of by allowing it to be what it needed to be by being people-centric, especially staff-centric. Sounds a little hippy-dippy, but it's honestly true. The better you treat your people, the better it all kind of works out.
Yeah. And the underlying theme through all of this has been music, though, right?
Yeah, it really has. Music ties everything together, right? I mean, sometimes I'm listening to old records that I wrote, and I realize that, like, old me has advice for me of today, and it's how to treat these people. The lessons that I learned just from writing and finding out who I was and what I'm about through music have made me into somebody that sees how to play with a group. We have what we call, every year for my birthday, we raise money to give to a local charity, and we've done what we call family band. Most of the people that work here are also musicians. You know, restaurant industry is actually pretty popular if you're a musician, because the shifts you can pick up often align with, you know, you can work a brunch shift and then make it to your gig at night. You know, you can kind of piece your life together that way. So anyone who's a musician on staff, and even if you're not, we call it family band. The first year we called ourselves Rattlesnake Ricotta, and we play music together. We have a little stage in the corner, and community comes, and I forget who we raised money for that year, but give it to a local charity, and it's been amazing. It's always been music for me, but something just needed to happen at that point in my life that just playing music wasn't taken care of, and I honestly think it's people. Even though I was playing out, it was just me and the piano, and now, like, my band has like 4,000 people in it in this community. It's just a different way of, you know, getting together and making something happen, you know. It's just, it's really been pretty, I hate to say it this way, but I've had enough of it that I can say it's like the place is running on generosity, and the generosity makes it, you feel like it's all just magically happening all the time.
Yeah, that magic gets a little help from the staff, 32 members and growing.
I know it's getting bigger. You know, every year I take them on what we call the Great Staffcation. We close for the week after Labor Day. We go somewhere Last year, we got a cabin in Saugatuck, and I think there were like 25 of us that made it. So, I mean, it's gotten quite big, the staff and the whole feelings of, you know, getting to know each other and, again, making music. Come, you can see on our wall to the left when you walk in is all of our pictures from Staffcation. Everyone brings instruments, and it's fun.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. Let's talk food. Is there a go-to item on your menu, something you're known for?
I think that, well, our number one selling item are the Abelskiver. It's they're Danish pancake balls, and at one point years ago, we had sold 10,000 of them. That's what most of the kids come for. I think that my favorite thing on the menu is gravlax. It's a cured salmon. We put beets and dill on the outside of ours, so when you cut in, it's like hot pink. It's really amazing. I love it.
When are you open?
So we're open for brunch 7:30 to 1:30 Wednesday through Sunday. We were 7 days a week when I opened, but again, when you make decisions for the team, they just needed the 2 days off. And so now everyone's got a weekend, you know, Monday, Tuesday. And we do dinner Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Again, that used to be more nights too, but we just did what we needed to give my night team their 40 hours and left it at that. And that menu changes every week. And it has a different theme every week. So last week, because it was the 4th of July, the theme of the menu was This Land Is Your Land. The previous week, it was foraged local berries theme. This coming week we're on is the Aw Honey Honey one, because it's all the local honey farmers have lots of honey and we're trying to support them. Different theme every week.
The Archies just came into my head.
Yep. that's where we got it from. Yeah.
And now about the restaurant's name, the Norwegian. Are you?
I did the Ancestry DNA and I'm 0% Norwegian.
But her husband is Norwegian.
And I just wanted it to be like the something. And it just kind of stuck, kind of like saying it.
And to boost her cred.
Took some classes up at Ingebrigtsen's in Minnesota to learn how to make this thing called lefse. And so I could at least be a little bit legit.
How about lutefisk?
No, we do have the Scandinavian Viking Challenge at our outdoor snow market, where part of it is eating lutefisk. We have a herring toss. this year we're building a Krampus hut. And we have, you know, it's you can eat outdoor Abelskiver, which are Danish pancake balls. And I mean, we thousands of people come every year and we build all of these huts and make it look like an outdoor fishing village in our parking lot. It's pretty nerdy and amazing. So, and we have music for that too. Music at everything, music everywhere.
It's all happening at the Norwegian in Rockford, where Emily Hurd is helping make a community and continues to make music. She's working on her 20th album called Girls Gotta Do.
And it's really about all the things I've learned, not just as a person, but as a woman, especially since I've gotten older. And I've got a song in it for all of the women that don't get recognized because they weren't mothers themselves, but acted as a mother figure. Like me, I lost 3 aunts in the last year, and that's who I wrote that song for. It's called Other Mothers.
She could see my broken heart bleeding from 100 yards. Keep her like a Christmas card hung up in my mind.
And by the way, her mother, the reason she moved back to Rockford from Chicago?
She's here all the time. We are always asking her, like, Mom, we ran out of herring. Can you run? Mom, you know, it never really ends, even though you hit adulthood yourself.
Until they sound the same. Even when I'm cross with her, I would still get lost with her. In a gown of gossamer, we dance in dirt and rain. When the other door would slam, she would open up her head. Nice to have a place to land when home was hard to find. She could see my broken heart bleeding from 100 yards. I keep her like a Christmas card hung up in my mind. She's the the best you ever met. When she's in her element, raised me on a riverbed. I can't forget her eyes. Next time we are face to face, we will pick up at the place where we left off. That's the way I wanna think we fly. When the other door would slam, she would open up her hand. Nice to have hard to find. She could see my broken heart bleeding from 100 yards. I keep her like a Christmas card hung up in my mind. If she were a melody, she'd be in a major key.
That's Emily Heard. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.